know whether you know this or not, but a few years ago, RB decided that he wanted to learn to play golf. He didn't know anything about golf, and so he went to a golf pro to take lessons. And the pro taught him the correct stance and how to hold the club and how to swing the club. And he said, give it a try. And RB, he said, just aim the ball for that green over there, that flag. So RB did everything that he was told to do. He grabbed the club just right, stood just right. He gave it a great swing, and that ball went straight down the fairway, and it landed on the green, and it rolled just a few inches from the cup. And the pro was speechless. And he looked at RB, and RB looked at him, and RB waited for him to say something, and the pro didn't say anything. And RB said, what's next? And the pro said, well, you're supposed to hit the ball into the cup. And RB said, now you tell me. In case you didn't realize it, that was a joke. RB actually got a hole-in-one on that first time. But I hope it made you laugh, because laughter is good for the soul. Laughter is good for the soul. Who said that? Well, that is attributed to a Yiddish proverb. However, a very smart Jewish man said something very similar. His name was Solomon. And in Proverbs 17, verse 22, this is what Solomon said. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. He also said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. What time is it for you today? Are you a weeper or a laugher? Which do you want to be? You know, we Christians have a reputation for being very solemn sometimes. Have you ever seen that or heard that? Especially Southern Baptists. Because they have this whole list of thou shalt not.
I think it's more Presbyterian.
The frozen chosen. In the South where I grew up, we had an expression, down in the mouth. Have you ever heard that expression? When someone's down in the mouth, they're grumpy and gloomy. But look at us Christians. We take a lot of time and energy talking about our sin and our need to repent and our behavior and our thoughts and our need to repent. We rehearse the admonitions of the Old Testament prophets that come down like doom. We memorize the thou shalt nots and try to honor them. We cringe when Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you, okay, Lord, I hear you. We talk about the day of judgment. We talk about hell. We sing about guilt and shame. And all that's true. And all that is very needed. We're all a bunch of dumb sheep just headed over the cliff. And we need to pay attention to these things. But God also said, thank you, Lord, there's a time to laugh. Laughter is God's medicine. It's a tranquilizer without side effects. Chuck Swindoll said it's just as spiritual to laugh as it is to pray. Martin Luther said, if you can't laugh in heaven, I don't want to go there. Benjamin Franklin said, trouble knocked at the door, but he heard laughter within and trouble ran away. And someone else said this, you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. Ouch. Some of you may remember a television show that was very popular in the late 60s and the early 70s. It was called Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. Elizabeth and I loved that show. Came on Monday nights. There was a lot of turmoil in the world in the late 60s and early 70s. The race riots were in full bloom. tires and cars and more were being burned in the street. Vietnam was in the evening news. The hippie culture was blooming, and we had sit-ins and love-ins, and drug use became prominent, and in fact, they even celebrated it on Broadway as they released the musical Hair. It was a very unnerving period of time in our lives, and so it was a great relief on Monday nights to sit down with Elizabeth and turn on the TV to Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. And we enjoyed some of the most stupid but expertly delivered stupidity I've ever seen from some new rising comedians like Goldie Hawn and Lily Tomlin and Flip Wilson and Henry Gibson. You remember Henry Gibson? It helped us laugh. Now, it was in the beginning of the turbulent 60s that Hollywood released probably one of the most feel-good movies they've ever put out, Mary Poppins. And do you remember that scene in the movie where they sang the song, "I love to laugh, I love to laugh, ha, 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 long and loud and clear." You remember that? It should be in our hymnals, I think. And as they were singing that song, they floated up into the air and they sang it from the ceiling. We had never seen anything on film like that before. It was absolutely startling, and it helped us laugh. It was great therapy. There is a time to laugh. God said it. I believe it. I embrace it. I want to laugh more. You've probably heard of the great pastor and author A.W. Tozer. He died in 1963, and he posed this question. He said, "Who are you, really?" And he said, "To answer that question, I'm going to ask you 7 questions for you to answer about yourself. First, what do you want the most? 2, what do you think about the most? 3, how do you use your money? 4, what do you do with your leisure time? 5, whose company do you enjoy the most? 6, who or what do you admire the most? And 7, what do you laugh at?" Good questions for just about anyone, whether they are a believer or a non-believer. But as born-again Christians, let's think about that again. Under Jesus Christ, what do you want the most? What do you think about the most? How do you use your money? What do you do with your leisure time? Whose company do you enjoy being with the most? Who and what do you admire the most? And what do you laugh at? There is a time to laugh. I want to tell you about a 38-year-old woman. Her goal in life was to be a famous film actress or professional singer, but she could not get a job doing either one. The only job that she was able to get, even at the age of 38, was to clean houses. She felt sorry for herself. In fact, she was miserable. She would go to the movies and she would look up on the screen and she would see a beautiful actress and she would say, "Oh, if only I were as pretty as she is, maybe I could get a job acting in the movies." She would hear a great singer singing and she'd say, "Oh, if only I had a voice as beautiful as hers, perhaps I could be a professional singer." Then one day, someone said to her, "Stop whining." Probably the wisest thing they could have said, and probably something all of us need to hear at times, right? "Stop complaining about what you don't have and look at what you do have. Think about yourself." So she started doing some thinking, and she thought back to her high school years, 20 years earlier, and she said that in high school, she was remembered as being the funniest girl in the class. A few years later, she was earning millions of dollars a year, making people laugh. Her name, Phyllis Diller. She was not beautiful. She did not have a lovely voice, but she made people laugh. And one of the ways that she did it was through her own scratchy, crazy laugh itself. Laughter is contagious. Yes? Yes. She was called the Queen of Cackle. What a title. Laughter is contagious. Your life is also contagious. The question is, as Christians, what do people catch from you? What are you spreading? Do you infect them with down-in-the-mouth complaining and grumbling? Or do you infect them with joyful laughter because you're so full of praise and thanksgiving to God that you just have to laugh, and they laugh with you? William Barclay wrote a devotional book called Daily Celebration, and I found this little story there. It says, "My son came home from school and announced proudly, 'There's a new little Indian girl in our school today.' I asked him, 'Does she speak English?' 'No,' came his quick reply, 'but that doesn't matter. She laughs in English.'" Laughter is not only contagious, it's a universal language. You don't need a translator when people are smiling, when people are laughing. And it's a language understood by Christians, and it's a language understood by non-Christians as well. What message do you send to one another, brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ? And what message do you send to non-Christians outside the body of Christ by your life and how you reflect the joy of the Lord? Sometimes someone said this, "If you can laugh at it, you can live with it." That may be a platitude, but that platitude has some truth in it. Now, here's something that's not a platitude. This is truth. Laughter is the cheapest medicine man has, and it's a gift from God. There's a magazine called The Week. They published a report about an experiment that they ran in 2005 at the University of Maryland with 20 volunteers. They sat down, these 20 volunteers, and they had them watch two movies. One of the movies was a comedy, and the other movie was a thriller full of tension. And they reported this. They said that the people who watched the funny movie, their blood flow increased by 22%. But the people who watched the thriller, the scary movie, their blood flow decreased by 35%. The person who conducted this experiment, Robert Provine, said this. He said, "People are 30 times more likely to laugh when they are with other people laughing. It's a communal experience, than when they are alone. When people are in bonding situations, laughter flows." This is what he said. Listen, God has hardwired Christians to be in a bonding relationship with one another. And if you don't have much laughter in your life right now, it may be because you have isolated yourself from the fellowship of believers, and you're trying to go solo. Robert Provine's report is just one of many scientific articles verifying that laughter is good for us. Science has finally caught up with Solomon, who said it about 3,000 years ago, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." Scientists have actually discovered these things about laughter. It lowers the blood pressure. It strengthens the heart. It reduces stress hormones. It boosts our immune system. Laughter helps you think more clearly. It releases endorphins, the body's natural painkillers. And it increases an overall sense of well-being, obviously. Do you need help with any of those things? How's your heart? How's your blood pressure? How are your joints and your muscles? How is your brain functioning? How is your brain functioning? How is your brain functioning? Try God's gift of free medicine called laughter. There's a time to laugh, and perhaps the time for laughter in your life is right now. Maybe you need it right now. What else does God's word say to us about laughter? There are several examples, and they have varying implications, and see if you can hear these distinctions. In Genesis 18, God said to Abraham that Sarah would have a miracle baby. You know this one, verse 12. Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Now, at that point in Sarah's life, her laughter was not because something was funny. It was mocking laughter because she couldn't believe it. She didn't have faith to believe it. What about you? If God wants to work a miracle in your life, are you going to trust him enough to laugh with him? Or are you going to be audacious enough to laugh at him? Three chapters later in Genesis 21, when the miracle baby Isaac was finally born, we read this. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Her tune changed, didn't it? A very different kind of laughter, joyful laughter, celebratory laughter. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. God blesses you all the time. Do you celebrate it? Do you laugh with him? There's a time to laugh. Here are some other biblical examples about laughter, but there are big differences. Listen, Job 5:21. Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not fear the beast of the earth. Psalm 52, beginning in verse 6, which is talking about an evil man. It says, the righteous will see and fear, and they will laugh at him, saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. Proverbs 31, speaking about Elizabeth, a virtuous woman. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. There are other examples, and they all say the same thing. We can laugh with, and we can laugh at. There is a difference. We all want other people to laugh with us, but none of us wants people to laugh at us. Laugh with me, don't laugh at me, especially if it degrades me. What about you? Do you laugh with people or do you laugh at people and tear them down? Mocking laughter can actually evolve into evil laughter. The biblical example of that is this. The soldiers laughed at Jesus as they stripped him and beat him and spat upon him and derided him. They laughed. God wept. Did Jesus say anything about laughter? Yes. Twice. In Luke chapter 6, he was teaching the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke here, and he said, blessed are you when you weep now, for you will laugh. Joyful laughter is a promise of God for our eternal life. Joy will come in the morning, the Bible says. Sing hallelujah. Jesus also said in Luke 6, and this is talking about mocking laughter, woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Mocking laughter also has a promise from the Lord. It will lead to weeping and mourning. Did Jesus laugh? Well, the Bible tells us twice that Jesus wept, but it doesn't describe anything about Jesus laughing. And the way many worship services are conducted in many churches around the country, I've come to the conclusion that a lot of folks think that Jesus never laughed. Have you ever been to one of those services? I disagree. I think Jesus did laugh. I cannot imagine Jesus going to a wedding feast in Cana that lasted for days and not laughing with the people and dancing with the people and singing with the people and, yes, drinking wine. I see it. I can imagine. He was a Jew. Where two or three Jews are gathered together, there shall be rejoicing. Or arguing, one of the two. I can't imagine Jesus calling the children to be near him and not laughing with him. Children laugh before they learn to speak. I read a report as I was preparing this. It said that children laugh on the average of 150 times a day. But adults laugh on the average of only 15 times a day. Children laugh 10 times more than adults. And Jesus said, become like a little child if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Ramp it up, folks. Put a smile on your face. Get the ice out of your britches and the starch out of your shorts. He didn't say that, I said. He said, be born again. Become like a little child. I can also imagine Jesus seeing the joy on people's faces when their blind eyes were open, when their deaf ears were unstopped, when they could put away the crutches and they could get up out of the bed and they could walk. I'm sure that there was laughter, and joy in the fellowship, and it was praising God kind of laughter. I can see Jesus laughing with them. Godly laughter is a tribute to God and to all that he's done for you. So, where do we land this baby? Personally, I would like to be a person who, when people look at me, they say, there's a man who laughs to the glory of God, and he helps me laugh too. I want to grow in bringing a smile to your face for the right reason. For Covenant Fellowship, I want the world to look at us and say, there is a body of believers who know how to weep with one another and laugh with one another for the right reasons. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. God said it. We can't appreciate a good laugh unless we compare it with those times of real weeping. Someone wrote this little prayer. It says, please, Lord, help us to laugh again. But God, don't ever let us forget that we cried. Here's my prayer for all of us. And it comes first from David's prayer, Psalm 51, verse 12. Speaking to the Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And second is from Job 8, verse 21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. That's my prayer for us. I wrote these words. Let us weep with each other. Let us show that we care. Let us laugh with each other when God's Spirit is there. And may He help us celebrate the lives that we share. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the full truth of your word. Thank you for reminding us that we need to be mindful of our sin and we need to weep knowing that you yourself wept. Thank you for your word that says there is also a time of joy in the morning for all of us. So, Father, I pray that every one of us will laugh with joy and sing with joy and live with joy so that the world may see Jesus Christ in us. I pray in his name. Amen. Have fun. Let's sing a Christmas carol.